Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. Welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. You're listening to episode 122, and today I am speaking with Jenny De La Cruz about how to help kids cope with the impact of COVID-19. Jenny is a licensed counselor. She is a published children's book author, and she is a delight to talk to. I am so excited to have this conversation with her today because we go into not just COVID-19, but helping kids cope with trauma of all kinds. And also she explains how to incorporate books into your music room and why it's crucial we continue reading to kids. A little bit about Jenny before we get started. She is a Haitian American writer, a wife, and a mother of two boys. She was born and raised in New York, and growing up, she was aware of the importance of diversity and how each person has a story that weaves back to generations. Like I said earlier, she's a licensed professional counselor, and she specializes in family conflicts, anxiety, depression, grief, trauma, and parenting issues. Her counseling career has helped her in writing because it has allowed her to realize the importance of promoting the emotional intelligence and self-awareness of children in books. As a counselor, she has observed how the books children read help them have a more meaningful understanding of themselves and the world around them, which I completely agree with. Her passion for teaching her children about world history and current events led her to pursue writing and launch her own educational children's book series. If you want more of Jenny De La Cruz's work, check out her first book, Fridays with Miss Melange, Haiti. She has a YouTube channel called Storytime with Miss Melange, where she reads diverse children's books aloud. You can also visit her online at CobbsCreekPublishing.com. And today she's going to talk about her newest book, Mama, Can I Sleep With You Tonight? Helping Children Cope with the Impact of COVID-19. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right in. And at the end of the episode, I'm going to give you all the links, and she's going to be telling you about where to find her as well and where you can connect with her, and you can check it out in the show notes as well. So I can't wait to get started, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. I'm so excited to have you back. And today I am joined by an author, and I'm joined by Miss Jenny, and I'm so excited to have her here today. And I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about herself and her work. And I just can't wait to have conversations with her all about her work and how you as an elementary music teacher can bring literature and books into your classrooms too. So with that said, Jenny, welcome to the podcast.
Jessica, thank you for having me.
You're an author, like I already said, yes. And not just an author, you're a children's book author. So can you tell us a little bit about that, how you became an author, or anything else you want to let the audience know about your work?
Sure. Well, you know, to be honest with you, my career in counseling has spilled over to my writing. I'm a licensed professional counselor of over 10 years, and, you know, I provide services to families, individuals who struggle with, numerous issues such as trauma, parenting, grief and loss. And as you mentioned, I published two children's books. And to be honest with you, I have two boys, 4 and 6, and they have inspired me to write. In my frustration, I was not able to find certain books I was particularly interested in having them be exposed to. And my husband said, "Why don't you just write?" My first book is about the history of Haiti, because my family is from Haiti, and I was looking for something. The closest thing I think I found was like a chapter book. I found things on the culture, the music, but not the history. And so that was my first book, Fridays with Miss Melange Haiti. And then my second book was inspired by my youngest son, who on April 5th, I can't forget, 3 a.m., woke me up because he had really big feelings and fears that he wanted to share in the middle of the night. And of course, after he was done, I was up. And
Oh yeah.
you know how that works,
Yes,
Jessica.
as a mom, yep, you're like, "Well, I can't go back to sleep now."
Exactly. And I did what I always tell my clients not to do. Don't pick up your phone when you're trying to go to sleep. And I picked up my phone and I wrote. I mean, I was just flooded with ideas, things that I saw in the community, how children and family were interacting with, and how they were having a hard time with the impact of COVID-19. And I kid you not, 6 a.m., I shared the draft with my husband. And he said, "Wow, I felt all those things. I remember one day at work, it just hit." He said, "You have to publish this." And that's when I knew I had to do that.
That is so awesome. I feel like,
Thank
as a
you.
creative, that is inspiration hits me at the weirdest times. It could be when I'm driving, in the shower, in the middle of the night, sleepy.
Yes.
It's like when I sit down to work. Sometimes the ideas just don't come out. And then it's always like the most inconvenient times where you're nowhere that you can write. You're like, "Oh my gosh, all these ideas. I need a piece of paper or a pen or something." So I love that. That is incredible that you took your experience from being a counselor and you know the effects of, trauma, which is what a lot of kids are going through right now with COVID-19. And then you've
Yes.
developed into a book. And I love that. That's incredible.
Thank
So,
you.
yeah.
Thank you. And of course, I want to add, I mean, a majority of us are dealing with the loss of normalcy in our lives. And, in addition to COVID, we're also dealing with the unjust deaths of so many Black lives. And I think of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and countless of others. And this book is also will comfort families struggling with all of this, because in essence, the book is not just about a story of a mother comforting her son, but at the end of the book, I provide tips and resources, and I talk about the stages of grief, And it's, you know what I think what people are surprised most about is that children experience change differently than we do.
That's true. I do think it is hard for even teachers listening to this to have those hard conversations with their students, or they might feel uncomfortable because they don't know how to approach it. And so I think a book is a perfect way. So it kind of takes the pressure off of them to be able to just show the kiddos a picture and then turn the page and read it and explain it and talk about it with them. So they're not having to come up with the words on their own. So I love that. I love that. And I love the resources you said you've included too. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I know that you, with trauma in general, you have told me before that what have you observed or what impact have you noticed with kids with trauma? You said they process it and feel it differently. So what have you observed with that?
Yeah, for instance, I find that many children, including my own, you'll see an increase in mood swings, in tantrums, and it's easy to say, "What's going on, with this kid?" and not realizing that they're going through the stages of grief. And the stages are denial, anger, sadness, bargaining, and acceptance. And so you might have a child going through shock or denial, a little bit of anger, and the next day, a little sadness the following day, or in one day, go through, several of those stages. And I'll give you an example. My youngest son, who's four, I was getting ready to go to the grocery store, and he said, "Mom, can you get those Oreo cookies? Because we love to have cookies without story time." I said, "Sure." And I remember, going to the grocery store, and I didn't see any, which was kind of strange. I couldn't stand Clorox wipes, but
Yeah,
anyway,
there are none of those.
seriously. So I came back home and I told him, there were no more Oreos. And he mentioned, "Oh, like he just looked confused." And I said, "Yeah, because with everything going on, a lot of people are stocking up, so there was, a lot of things are out." And he seemed like he was okay. Went back to playing, but the next day he seemed more frustrated than usual. And so I gave him a piece of paper and some crayons. I said, "Draw how you're feeling." Next thing I know, he's really going in with the crayon. And I said, "What's going on? What are you drawing?" And he said, "This is you, mommy." I'm like, "Okay, I gotta really see what's going on here."
Like, what's
And
mommy
he said,
doing?
"Yeah." He was like, "You're at the grocery store and there's no more Oreos. You see, you're stomping your feet. You're so angry." And I said, "Wow, I'm so glad he had that tool to be able to do that, because let's say he took it out on his older brother, right? And I would have no idea where the root of that was coming from." And I think that it's important for parents to find ways to, and teachers, to get children to express themselves, whether it's through reading or music or drawing, the arts, right? Journaling, poetry, and as an outlet to let some of that frustration out, so that they're not stuck there.
Oh, yeah. Completely. It is so important that kids find a creative outlet. I cannot agree more with that.
Yeah, and and for younger children, they're learning how to recognize facial cues and emotions. Wearing face masks can be intimidating at first because they can't tell when they look out the window or when they go to the grocery store. Is there a smile or a frown behind there? And so I think that it's really important for us as adults to just validate what they're going through and say, "Hey, remember, the same person that you see there is the same person behind that mask." Just to reframe that experience. And for children who live in an inner city, of course, they might be triggered by the increase of sirens that they hear. And so it's important to reframe that to say, and this is something that I say in the book, when you hear the sound of an ambulance, it means that help is on its way. So reframing these experiences for, our children, this is really important, to ground them.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about your book, how it helps kids cope with trauma and what's going on in the world right now?
In the book, it's a story of a little boy who is having a hard time falling asleep, and his mom comforts him the best way she knows how. And in the story, she really validates his feelings and really just reframes his experiences, And there's a line where he says, "I feel like everything is a bad dream." And I think that that's the feeling that we all can resonate with. And with every good children's book, it's not just for children, it's for adults as well. So this book is going to allow adults to perhaps tap into, the feelings of denial, shock, anger, sadness, and even bargaining. The child says, "What if I, eat my peas? Or what if I pray? What if I do, can things go back to how it is?" And sometimes we do feel that. And so this will allow us to really wrestle with those feelings and help us to really transform. Because one additional stage I didn't add is transformation. And I believe that as a nation, we are transforming with everything that's taking place, you know.
Yes, for sure. So I want to kind of pick your brain about being a licensed counselor, if I can, for a minute. And
Sure.
so kids, when they do get to return to school, if that ever does happen,
Right.
there a lot of what I've kind of been speaking to music teachers about, or teachers in general, who are so worried about kids being behind academically, but like you said, a lot of it is going to need to, we need to talk to these kids about their feelings and deal with social emotional learning and the feelings they've had behind all the things that have been going on. Yes, academics are so important, don't get me wrong, but do you feel like teachers need to also make sure they're focusing on the kids' emotions as they return to school, or even as they see them virtually again, that that's also important too?
Yeah, no, I, you know, it's funny that you say that because I totally agree with you. I think that is crucial. And in fact, I'm actually in the process of completing a guide. I'm making a short guide for teachers. It's called How Was Your Summer? And it's
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much a guide to help teachers and students transition back to what this new normal, right? Because, you know,
Perfect.
of course, you know, I remember working at a school, a charter school, and seeing how, you know, so many teachers are, you know, they have metrics and they have to, you know, make sure that they get these numbers in for these tests. So I know the pressure, you know, not personally, but seeing that the teachers have to go through. And so day one is like, all right, we got to start these lessons. And, you know, I understand that part. At the same time, as you mentioned, I think that it's really important to incorporate a special time, even if you want to call it a reflection time, whether it's once a week for 15 minutes, just to allow children to process what they have experienced and even use this time to teach them different coping skills, whether it's let's do a little bit of psychoeducation and read about coping skills. There's great books on that. Let's do a little bit of chair yoga, of awareness, of grounding techniques. I believe that can definitely help.
Yes, I agree completely. Thank you so much for that. So, I want to move back on to reading. And in your
Yes.
opinion, why is reading to kids so important at home and at school?
Oh my goodness, that is a great question. And I totally, you know, as a mom, will say it is crucial to read to our children. For one, I believe that it gives them language to express themselves. It helps them to think critically. And it really just awakens their imagination, right? I believe that as we reach our children, we don't really realize the impact that it's going to make long time. Well, as we read to children, we don't realize the impact that it will make long term in their lives. I mean, these children are future innovators, you know, creators. Reading also helps children, gives children the ability to make decisions. I believe it helps them with their social skills as well. And so I believe, like, you know, we talk about we want our children to be well-rounded, you know, and reading does that.
And how many also experiences can you bring to children, that they can't experience live? Like I'm
Right.
thinking about the music room. If you can't, go to a live performance, you can bring the live performance to them by reading a story about the orchestra or, composers or any kind of genre of music or even popular artist of today. There's books about everything. And so,
Absolutely.
I think any kind of children's book, and like you said, it helps them process emotions and learning about things. And it helps them connect, I feel like, to adults as well. There's just something so sweet about an adult reading to a child. And you see these little eyes just focused on you and paying attention and really into whatever you're saying to them. And it's just so sweet. And so I think that's really awesome. So this podcast, as you know, is for elementary music teachers. So do you have tips on how they can best incorporate books into what they're already doing in the music room?
That's a really great question. I believe that teachers can incorporate books into their lesson plan as a visual. Teachers can use it to make a connection, and it can even enhance what they're already teaching. So it's really, you know, something that the child remembers. I know for me growing up, I am a visual learner. And so if you're teaching me something and then you're showing me, I can make that connection. You know, I'm like that person who's driving. I'm like, I know the landmarks, like, okay, turn right here, you know, at the coffee shop,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I think that really benefits those types of learners as well.
Mm-hmm. You're right, because there's so many different styles of learners that come into a classroom. You can't just teach one approach because there's so many different learners that enter a classroom. And so I definitely think that's a good point. Do you feel like having conversations with kids and reading books to kids about real life issues is just as important than teaching musical content?
Yeah, you know, I believe they're both equally important. It's hard to say that one is more important than the other, you know, because I think that they complement each other. Because I do believe, you know, as a student of music, you know, I grew up learning how to play the recorder, then the clarinet, then the saxophone, you know, being able to tap into that part of my mind musically has helped me with problem solving. Mm. And I'm sure in ways that I don't even know, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And so it has helped transition that discipline too in learning music and appreciating music has transitioned to other areas of my life. And so, and then likewise, reading books about important issues or tough topics,
mm-hmm.
You can say, how did that make you feel reading that book? And the child said, well, that made me feel sad. That made me feel blue. And so can you play that, you know, or can you think of a song, and they might think of a melody that translate into that. So it complements each other. It marries each other so well.
Yeah. And so many kids nowadays don't know how to feel music or don't know how to express themselves through music, or they maybe just know one style of music. And so, like you said, finding a song for if you're sad and I think the music teacher can totally introduce those songs to those kids. Like, these are good songs for if you're happy. Let's listen to a song that has a sad sound. This one kind of sounds angry because it's really loud. And I think that's right. Just listening to that will help them to express their emotions. And then what happens when they go home, they're going to be like, I'm going to find a fast song that kind of makes, you know, makes me feel happy. And I do think it's a perfect combination. And music does. You're right. It instills so many life skills. I play clarinet also and did a band all the way through college and piano. But I'm telling you, the amount of discipline it takes to practice and be a part of a team and band, you know, you know what I mean? A group. And so it's like a bunch of collaborative learning is what it is. And it's so many other skills. But you're right. A lot of kids just doing music in general, even in an elementary music classroom, they're learning cooperative learning and large group and small group and partners and individually. They're learning all these social skills without even knowing that's what they're doing. So I love that you said that you can have conversations around that too. Hey, why do you think I put you with this partner? Oh, because we work well together. You know, just, I think that's great. Or why are you mad about being paired up with that partner? Let's talk about the feelings you might have towards that. I think there's so many conversations that can come from just things that go on in the music room, or like you said, with kids learning music in general. Teachers just have to be aware and open to having these conversations for sure.
Yes. And I think like being, you know, of course it's important to have your structure, but being open to being flexible, I think is key, and being present.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's some days that it's just gonna not go good. There's some days that you're just not gonna be able to teach like you want to because you just notice there's maybe half of a class that comes into the music room just seems off that day for whatever reason. And so stop, talk about it. What's happening in here? Let's talk about the emotions we're feeling because you can't teach over that. You know, that's there's something going on sometimes, or maybe you need to pull a student aside and have a conversation. I think sometimes teacher, and I'm raising my hand because I've fallen in this trap before, but you get, like you said before, so wanting to get through your lesson plan so bad from beginning to end that you don't leave any space in there for what conversations might need to happen in there, or someone's feeling some really strong emotions and you need to take time to talk to that student. I think leaving some wiggle room in that schedule to be able to have those opportunities is so important because the kids that will, they'll progress more in your room if they feel like they can
Right.
trust you and have a relationship with you, is what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's all about feeling safe. When we feel safe, we just open up and our minds open up. And so really it you're in the forefront, it may seem like, yes, it's taking more time to build that foundation of safety and trust. But in the long run, it will definitely pay off because children will be more open to learn and focus.
Yeah. So we have not talked about, I did want to get into the other conversation that we talked about at the beginning of the podcast episode. You know, the other trauma kids might be feeling. Do you have any advice for how to speak to children, especially Black children, about, or children of all colors, but the Black children right now are needing our support more than ever. So how can adults in general speak to these kids and help them and love on them the best that they can?
Well, I just would like to say that if you are a teacher and you have a student that's in a minority group, whether it's like you only have one white student or one Black student, because it could go either way, make sure not to single them out in front of everyone. You might want to pull them aside first to say, hey, how are you feeling about everything that's been going on? And how would you feel if I was to bring this up in a classroom? Because the thing is, you may have two totally different responses. A child might say, wow, feel relieved and say, wow, I'm glad that you bring this up because it's been on my mind. And or there might be some shame associated with that. And then you might have to say, maybe this child needs to be referred to the school counselor. So, and so, and in the guide that I mentioned, it's going to really talk more about, do's and don'ts and tips for engagement for sure. And so folks can definitely, I do have like a subscriber list if they're interested in when it's coming out. They can subscribe on my website. But I think it's important just to really be aware, 80% of communication is nonverbal. And so really paying attention to the nonverbal. Are all my students sitting down in the classroom? Just their body language, their facial expressions. I mean, that in itself right there, just being mindful will do wonders.
Yes, I love everything you said. And I will include the link to your website and that guide in the show notes too, so everybody can find it there. But I want to know, do you have any other advice about anything we talked about today that, or anything we didn't talk about with regards to books, reading, any of the hard conversations we just talked about, or anything else that you have advice around?
If I can provide two tips for parents, caregivers, educators, auntie, uncles, it's so important to validate how, these our children are feeling. So, it's easy as getting down on the level. Sometimes we're so busy, and I have to tell myself, okay, sit down and play, with my sons for a few minutes. And so getting down their level on the floor so we can make eye contact with them and say, how are you really feeling just about everything going on? And say, I feel that way too, because sometimes they feel as superheroes. And when they see it, no, mommy is having a hard time too. And it's like, wow, I'm not alone. And then maybe I can come to you for more. I think that's important. And then I would say the next tip is to give them an opportunity to release any frustration or tension physically. A lot of times, with anger, even with ourselves as adults, we shame ourselves. Oh, I shouldn't feel angry. But it's okay to feel angry. And so I will tell my oldest son, if you're frustrated, go and punch a pillow. And sometimes they'll win-win because they might tire themselves out and fall asleep.
Right,
Right?
boy. Oh, boys, I know.
Oh my goodness. But we can even give them a bowl of rice and say, go ahead and squeeze that. And it's a nice sensory activity. And it really helps them to calm down their central nervous system. And we as adults need that too. Sometimes, well, I was homeschooling, I had my stress ball, girl. Look, I wasn't playing around. I made sure I exercised, because it wasn't just about being fit, but it was also about releasing the tension that was being stored in my body because so much was going on. And I think even as adults, we're trying so hard to keep everything together so that the kids, feel grounded, but we're not taking care of ourselves.
It is so true. I mean, parents and educators alike, you are wanting to constantly serve and give and help and teach. And I know for me, I'm guilty of that. Just go, 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 work, 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 parent, parent, parent. And then at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, have I done one thing for me today, besides sit for 5 minutes? Like, and every day is going to look different, but you're right. It's, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I've said that before. And I feel like a lot of the overwhelm in parenting, but also in teaching, is because you're, like you said, it's okay to feel feelings. You feel like you got to put on this front and be like this perfect person and this perfect example. But I also think it's okay, and tell me if you agree with this, for kids to see your human side, not
Oh,
necessarily to see you lose
absolutely.
it, but let's say you do, and they need to see that, okay, you know what? I messed up, and that's not the way to act, but I apologize. And yeah, right? I mean, I
Oh,
feel like it's
absolutely.
okay
I
to,
agree with you.
to have
And my,
emotions.
oh yeah, and my kids know because I will break out in a hymn, and they're like, "Oh no!" She and but they're grateful too because they're like, "Okay, she's going to the Lord with that."
Yes. Oh, and I tell my husband all the time, I'm like, well, listen, I'm the only female in this house, so they got to learn it from somewhere. Okay. So,
There you
oh, Jenny, I have loved this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. I want you to let everybody know where they can find you online and connect with you.
Sure. Yes, you can find me at CobbsCreekPublishing.com. I'm also at restorativetherapy.info for those who are looking for counseling support. I also run a support group for Black women who are struggling with systematic racism. And I am on Instagram at Storytime Melange and Facebook at Diverse Kids
Awesome.
Books.
I will put all of that in the show notes, and you guys make sure to connect with her. She's amazing, and I hope you've gotten so
Thank
much out of this
you.
episode. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yes, and Jessica, thank you for giving me the space to share.
Yes, I've loved this conversation so much. Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.